It's good to see you, everybody, this morning. We welcome you to worship at College Park. We would like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take this pew pad, write your name down, give us some contact information, and check the appropriate boxes, that helps us find out who is in worship today. We certainly appreciate that. We do ask, once you're done, send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. And we ask, once it reaches that last person, when you are done, sign the pew pad, send it back to where it got started. We do ask that first person, when it comes to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us out with that. Several announcements we'll make today. Many things listed under upcoming events and opportunities for the week. Just want to draw your attention to a couple of those. We are not having children's time today. With baptism and communion, there is no children's time, but we are having a very special baptism in just a few moments. Want all the kids to make note of that. Normal schedule this week, with all the things that are listed. Our softball teams are starting play this week. Make note of that. The men's team starts tomorrow night, and the co-ed starts on Friday night. And other things, next Sunday, our youth will be in charge of worship, both in the 9 o'clock and the 11 o'clock. Be a special day in the life of our church. We have a special group that have an announcement. I want the RAs and GAs, they have an announcement they want to give to us this morning.
Hey, Wilson, are you hungry?
Yeah, man, I haven't eaten in 3 hours.
How about some barbecue?
What was that?
I don't know, but it sure was scary.
Hey, man, what are you doing?
It's Christian. Hey, dude, what's up?
I'm getting ready for the barbecue.
Christian, it's not barbecue chicken. It's barbecue pork.
But I really love barbecue chicken.
You don't understand. It's barbecue pork, not barbecue chicken.
But I really love barbecue chicken.
The RAs and GAs are raising money to pay for the new scoreboard in the new gym.
We'll be selling barbecue butts with Andrew Osley's holy smoking barbecue sauce.
Each RA and GA will have a goal of selling 10 barbecue butts.
Pickup will be here on April 27th at 5 p.m. 4 to 6 p.m.
I love barbecue pork. Thank you for all your support of the RAs and GAs, and each barbecue butt will be $35.
Mr. Groover, if we run out of barbecue pork, can we eat this chicken?
Good job.
That is one skinny chicken. My goodness. Might feed one. We do thank the RAs and the GAs. They have been working extremely hard. They're leaders. That's a big event that they have been working hard for, and we hope that you're able to support them in their efforts. Okay, I think that's all the announcements. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We are certainly thankful for the information you provided on the pew pad a moment ago. We're blessed by your presence in worship, and we'd like to give something to you. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. Our ushers will recognize you, and they will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the history of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship today. Baptism and communion is something we often recognize. It is what defines us as a Baptist church. Two of our distinctives, two of the things that we believe are high and holy, is a time of baptism and our time of remembering the Lord's Supper. And I think remembering is a really important word. Do you remember when you were baptized? Do you remember the moment that you accepted Christ into your life and that time when you went into the baptismal waters? As we come to worship, as we come to celebrate baptism and communion, it is a day of remembrance and thanksgiving. So this morning, as we prepare for worship, let us remember all that God has done and those high and holy days that He made happen in our lives. Let us prepare for worship. Will you pray with me? Father, on this day, we are praising you and our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, all day long. This is not just a one-time-a-week thing. You are worthy of our worship and praise every day, every moment. This is a time that we cherish to come together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to be encouraged by one another, to be strengthened, to be reminded how important we are to one another. And as we lift our voices in worship and praise to you, we invite you into this place, for without you, all of this is meaningless. So we worship you with all that we have and all that we are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. We come to the baptism waters today, and it's a joyful occasion. It is a time to celebrate. So as Jeff has already referenced, these services are a good reminder to us. It's an opportunity for us to recall our own baptism and our family celebration over that. So as we come to the waters today, reflect and enjoy this opportunity to share with the Hodge family. Skylar, if you would join me. This is Skylar Hodge, and I want to invite her family, if you would join me in standing, her friends, those who have come to support her, as well as those that have been a part of her Christian education here at College Park. Would you join me in standing, whether that be through children's choirs or Sunday school or missions groups, whatever influence you've had, if you would join us in standing, please. And I want to invite David and Grace, if they would come now, issue a challenge to their daughter.
We don't get enough opportunities to tell you how much we love you and the wishes that we have for your life. Your mother and I know that you have been a pure joy. We are excited that you have the desire in your heart to get baptized and show the world that you have Jesus in your heart and that you want to live for Jesus. From the day you were born, you have wanted to show us what a big girl you are and how independent you are. Miss Melinda, Miss Sharon, and Granny Hill, along with so many others at this church, have joined us in helping you find Jesus in your life. This is a big day that we hope you will remember forever. Remember that Jesus commanded to us in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, to be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I want you to hold that in your heart. Whenever you get down or afraid, remember God is always with you. You already know that God is awesome and powerful. We know you know that by when we find many funerals and praying for little animals that you see that have lost last days in our yard. God has a special calling on your life. I remember the days you cooked with Miss Melinda and how that made you very happy. I'm so glad you get your cooking skills from your daddy, you know. And how you always wanted to help Miss Sharon with baby Connor. You have always been such a caring, loving helper. We want you to invest and God's gifts that he has given you and use them for the glory of God. Be the salt and the light and to your peers at school. Teach them about Jesus. You are never too young to change the kingdom of Christ. Jesus knew that when he said, "Let the little children come unto me." You have grown from baby Skylie to big girl Skylar so quickly. We love you and we are blessed by you, and others will be too.
Skylar, because you've accepted Christ and you've publicly professed him as your Lord and Savior, it is a pleasure, it's an honor to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Mr. Jeff is here and he's got a candle he's going to give you, and you hang on to that and to remind you to let your light shine before people, okay? Thank you. Maybe seated. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for the blessings of this day. Thank you for the joy that we feel here. Father, we know that your Spirit is in this place and that your Spirit has filled this child. And as she seeks to live out what it means to be a Christ one, a Christian, a follower of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray that you would strengthen her and empower her. Father, that you would protect her from those who would try to discourage. We ask the same for ourselves as we live out our calling and live out our journey, that as we go, that you would protect us as well as we seek to represent you and represent your Son in a way that glorifies you, not ourselves. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
Brethren and sisters in Christ, I am proud to be a member of College Park Baptist Church. I go back a long, long ways, and I can tell you a lot of things about this building that you don't know because I was here from back yonder up until now, almost three quarters of a century. And I'm so proud of the fact that our early church founders chose this spot to build this church. God blessed us at that time, and he continues to bless us as we build and grow and reach out to others. And now, let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the many, many ways in which you have blessed us. There are so many things that we are so thankful for as we continue to build and to grow. Today, dear Heavenly Father, we want to remember Raymond as he goes to a former church to hold a series of meetings, and we pray that you would be with him in the messages that you and he deliver to this particular congregation. be with him as he travels, and be with us while he is gone. Now, we ask that you would take the monies and the gifts that we return to you. They're just a tiny portion of the many ways in which you have blessed us. And for this, we are so very, very thankful. In your Son's most precious name we pray. Amen.
took all my sin and bore it instead. How beautiful the tender eyes that choose to forgive and never despise. How Christ. And as he died down his life, we offer this sacrifice that we will live just as he died, willing to the price, willing to pay the price. How beautiful the radiant bride who waits for light in her eyes. How beautiful when humble hearts give the fruit of pure lives so that others may live. How beautiful.
How beautiful the feet that bring the sound of good news and the love of the King. It's our commission as Easter people not to forget resurrection once the candy runs out. I mean, it's supposed to continue way beyond that. We are supposed to live in the shadow of the resurrection, the shadow of the cross, as well as the stone that was rolled away to signify the resurrection or to give testimony to the resurrection. That is what we do as Easter people. We live in light of the resurrection all year. We should gladly proclaim the good news of Jesus' resurrection. And that's what the disciples did. The disciples did it very well. And our text today talks about the preaching of the apostles and the challenge that they faced, the challenges, I should say, plural, that they faced as a result of their proclaiming the gospel. If you would join me in reading, I am reading from Acts chapter 5, and I'll begin in verse 12, kind of set up the context of what was going on. It was an exciting time, and there was a lot going on. I want to read that to you. I'll read down through verse 32, and then we'll pick up with a couple of verses a little bit after that. But starting now at Acts chapter 5, verse 12. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's Colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. And as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Then the high priest and all of his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go, stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people the full message of this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and they reported, "We found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the door. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." That has a ring of familiarity, doesn't it?
Yeah.
No one inside. On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would become of this. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sin to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Challenging. So according to Acts, as we read it, there was a lot of success in terms of the ministry, the spreading of the gospel. A lot of things were happening very quickly, and more people listened, more and more people believed, more and more people were being healed. And the religious leaders, the little green bug began to eat them up, and they got jealous. They got jealous and said, "We can't have this." So they threw them in prison. That'll teach them. That ought to do it. Close the doors, lock it. That ought to do it. You would have thought they would have known better. Roll the stone in front of it. That ought to do it. They just didn't learn. Because an angel of the Lord came, opened the prison cell, let them out, said, "Keep on preaching. Go back to where you were. Keep on preaching." At daybreak, the apostles went back, right back to the temple court and kept on preaching. Just like they had been doing before they were arrested. That's what they were arrested for. And the high priest sent the police to the prison to find them, not knowing they were already out. He sent the prison guard to go get them and bring them to him. But the police came back and said, we found it locked. It was secure. There were guys still standing at the door, but there was no one inside. And in that moment of confusion slash frustration slash panic, someone shows up and said, hey, guys, the men you put in prison, yeah, they're over there. They're back in the temple, and they're praying, and they're preaching again. They're back there preaching. So once again, the apostles are drugged back in front of the council. We can only imagine what the high priest said. Guys, what are you doing? We threw you in jail for doing this, and you're back doing it again. The interesting thing is he didn't say, how did you get out? Maybe he didn't want to know the answer. But Peter replied, we must obey God rather than any human authority. Starting to sound a little bit like Jesus, isn't he? Yeah. He summed up the message after that. He says, God raised Jesus. You all tried to kill him. God raised him up. There's also repentance for Israel, forgiveness of sins. We're all witnesses of this. The leaders were furious, understandably. Operating from a human perspective, they were furious, and they would have killed the apostle. They would have killed him. Except for the words of Gamaliel. Now, Gamaliel was Saul slash Paul's teacher, and we'll talk a little bit about that week after next. Next week's Youth Sunday. The week after that, we'll follow up here. And he gives them these instructions. He says in verse 38 and 39, keep away from these men. Let them alone. Because if this plan or this undertaking is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. In that case, you may even be found fighting against God. Good words. This story in Acts is pretty clear. The disciples who were cowering, who were running, who were hiding before Resurrection Sunday. It's a big difference between then and now, isn't it? In this story, the boldness. The Gospel of Luke told very clearly the denial, the running, the hiding, the fear. But once Peter and the others knew the reality of the resurrection and had received the Holy Spirit, they were emboldened. Their experience of God's power gave them a new clarity and an ability to stand for what they believed. And the stand they took, make no mistake, the stand that they took changed human history. Sounds to me like not only did they receive the Holy Spirit, but they were empowered, they were being directed, and they were being obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So what about us? What's our excuse? Same Holy Spirit, same potential. In what ways do we claim Easter power for ourselves? Not for our glory, for ourselves in living out our lives, to give glory to God. And when do we find it necessary to obey God rather than human authority? You see, the interesting thing is Peter and his fellow apostles, they knew the story. They knew the story of Jesus Christ, and they shared it. They believed it, not just with their head, but with their heart and with their spirit. And it couldn't help but come out. As they talked to people, their story could not help but come out. He said, we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. As we live faithfully, the Spirit is present with us. And perhaps there's no place where we experience the presence of the Holy Spirit more than when we come to the Lord's table. We go to the table this morning even as we remember the celebration of Easter Sunday morning. As they're coming to you, let me extend an invitation. If you are a believer, we invite you to join with us in communion. We practice open communion, so if you're a believer, we invite you to join with us, whether you're a member of this congregation or not. As the disciples gathered there in the upper room, we know the range of emotions they must have been going through. They really didn't know what was coming next. But that next week following that was a whirlwind. But yet we see in this passage today where they came from and what God did in their life. So my challenge today is, as we remember the body of Christ that was broken for us, that we would pray for that same clarity, for that same power in our lives to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ who died for us. A new covenant. That's what Jesus said was contained in his blood. A new opportunity, a new agreement with the creator of the universe, the savior of mankind. He knew they would need a lot of new beginnings. He knows that we need a lot of new beginnings. And when we confess our sin, he is faithful, just, to forgive our sin. Give thanks. As we've already said two or three times this morning, these type of services are a reminder to us. It's an opportunity for us to reflect. I want to invite you to join with me the covenant with new believer that's printed in your order of service. I'll read the part that's labeled minister, and if you will join in the part that's labeled congregation, and then we'll join together at the last sentence with all. But as you read the words, don't just let them roll off your lips. Let them be a part of who you are as you again recommit yourself to the principles that we believe, the core truths that we hold about our God. Do you believe in God the Father?
God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
Believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit?
Believe in the Holy Spirit, the Christian Church, the communion of the saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers for each other and this new believer? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ and be faithful to pray for those who are lost? Will you seek and serve Christ by ministering to all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you seek and strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? These things we covenant together before God. Amen. We want to give you an opportunity to respond to what you've experienced here in worship this morning. If you are someone who has been questioning and you feel that God is leading you and pulling you to Him, that is the Holy Spirit at work in your life, preparing you for a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'll be glad to talk with you about that, what that means, and lead you in a prayer that you can open your heart to Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. I'll be here at the front, and I'll be glad to talk with you here, or you can call me this week. I'll be glad to meet with you wherever you'd like, and we'll talk about it. If you're here this morning, you say, well, I am a believer, but Raymond, I really would like that kind of clarity and that kind of power that the apostles were demonstrating. I really like that. That's as simple as opening your heart to God and asking Him to reprioritize your life and being submissive to Him and obedient to His calling. You can certainly do that where you are and where you will be singing, I'll be glad to talk with you if you'd like that. If you're here and you'd like to become a member of this fellowship, there's many ways we receive members. I'd be glad to speak with you about that. So whatever your decision that you'd like to make, I invite you to do that as we stand together and sing now. Be seated for just a moment, please. Scholar, would you come join me up here, honey? We are so proud of you, and we've got a couple things we want to give to you. Mr. Jeff is coming here. He's bringing a certificate of baptism that we want you to keep and remember today, as well as a new Bible. It's pink and green. I thought you would enjoy that. And you read that, and you continue to grow in your faith, okay, honey? All right. I want to ask Mom, Dad, Sister, if you all would come up, join her. And you, if you would, following the benediction and the response, if you would come and greet her and encourage her as her journey, will you continue to pray for her? Will you do that? I know you will. Thank you so much. Would you join me in standing now for our benediction? Gracious Father, our hearts are filled. Father, we as we go from here, we pray that the joy and the excitement that we feel and we sense now would translate into a life that gives glory to you, that points others to you. Father, that we would get out of the way and that you would work through us to reach other people. God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen.